Blog Talk Radio.
Come on. Before we go further, let's just look to the Lord. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you would allow the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, to be acceptable in your sight, Lord God. You are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. We ask that your anointing would flow over our speaker tonight as she imparts wisdom unto your listeners tonight. In the name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Well, listen, Amen. I just trust that all of you have had a great week since we were together last. And we have, as I said, a special guest on tonight in the person of Angelique Gale. Some of you were not able to be with us last week, but we're glad that you're joining us on tonight to hear this young woman who is well on her way, fulfilling destiny that God has designed for her life. She is a PR strategist. She's a writer. She's an editor. She's a graphic designer and businesswoman. Angelique's the founder and CEO of the Gale Agency, and of course, she can tell us more about that as we go further tonight. Now, this is part two. Last week, she talked about making it through your Job season. And tonight, we'll delve deeper as we talk about the mental shift that has to take place as we do this. So we're going to get ready to apply four strategies for success that she shared with us on last week. And then we're trusting God that as she lays this open before us, we're all going to be able to experience the mental shift in our lives that's vital for going forth and coming out and coming through in our Job season. Angelique, are you there?
I'm here. Nice to be here.
Well,
I'm very
God bless
glad to
you.
Be here. How are you? God bless you,
oh,
too.
Well.
How are you?
We're doing well and so glad that you have agreed to come back and share with us again for another week. And I certainly want to remind our callers tonight, listen, if you all want to join in on this conversation tonight, if you want to have comments, if you have questions, please don't hesitate. Press 1 at any time. We'll make sure and we'll bring you in to be a part of the conversation, to give comments. Maybe you've gone through a Job season. You know, maybe the Lord has brought you through and you have something to share with others tonight. But without any further ado, Angelique, I want you to just go ahead, if you will, and kind of recap for us. Some weren't with us last week, but you certainly shared with us and talked with us about some points for specifically for making it through our Job season. And I'd like for you to share on those tonight before we go further for tonight. God bless you.
Absolutely, no problem. So last week when we were together, I went through 4 points, not briefly, but I went through 4 points to make it through your Job season. The first point was sometimes you have to lose to win. Job, he lost a lot in his battle when God was allowing him to be tested. And sometimes when we're going through life, you know, challenges are tough and we face losses, all different types of losses, financial, you know, family members, friends, you know, we lose a lot. But God will always restore to us if we are good to him and we're obedient. So sometimes you have to lose to win. The second one was understand that delayed doesn't mean denied. Just because things aren't happening the way you want them to happen and when you want them to happen, and because you ask God to do something right now and he isn't either talking to you or, you know, he's not fulfilling what you wanted it, want him to fulfill, it doesn't mean he's denying you. It just simply means not right now. The third point was know that as long as there's breath in your body, it's not over. So whatever vision that you have, you're not accomplishing it right now. But if you're alive and you wake up to see another day, that means the promise is still alive, and that means that God must bring it to pass. So you have to keep going, even in the midst of the adversity. And 4 was, even through all you go through, no matter what it is, no matter how big the challenge is that you face, you must count it all joy, because everything you face is setting you up for where God wants to take you. So you must count it all joy. And so this week, like Pastor Leslie said, we're going to delve deeper into, yes, those are the points to make it through your Job season, but all of those, in order to get to that stage, there's a mental shift that has to take place for you to understand everything that God is getting ready to send you through. Because God allowed Job to be tested despite his consummate effort to be perfect in him, he lost a lot. He lost his fortune, he lost his children, and he was afflicted with sores that absolutely drove him crazy. He finally speaks about 18 or 19 chapters later, and he's in complete anguish. Job is in anguish, and many of us, if you're older and you've been through things and you have children, you can understand a frustration when you're constantly just losing. And so Job begins to question God. He finally begins to question God after many afflictions. But what he did was he questioned God, but he never questioned his belief in God. And his trust in God never wavered. And because of that, God honored him. Because he did not fall into the temptation of cursing God or doing something sinful to end his suffering, God blessed him richly in restoring him twice as much as he had before. The Bible says his latter days were greater than his former days. He had the most beautiful daughters in all the land and ended up having 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was the poster child of, you know, we will reap if we faint not. So be not weary in well-doing. Although he was anguish and pained, you know, he endured. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to simply endure. It doesn't mean we can't question him. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're not going to get angry sometimes. Be angry, but sin not, you know. So I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. You know, doing what Job did was very, very tough. But the only way to get through the situations that he faced or that we're going to face, you know, that thorn in the side, as Paul calls it, is if we have the mind of Christ. And so this is where we're going to pick up tonight and talk about that mental shift. So how do we get to the point where you can do those things? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. So the first point is you must become new. You have to become new. Not just one time we get saved, just a couple of times when we go to the altar. You must become new every day. Every day you wake up, you have to die to yourself, because the whole process is not about you, because the vision that God gave you is not about you. He's not going to give you a vision that's just for you. He's going to give you a vision that has to do with other people. It's blessing other people. Your vision more than likely is ministry, even if it's just business, even if it's just business, you know, people think, oh, I have a business, you know, that means this is how I feed my family. No, your business is to feed other families. Like me, I employ someone. So it's for me to, I give them the resources. God allows me to give them the resources to help their family. You know what I mean? So, yes, my company is a vision that God gave me, but my company is also giving back. And that is more than likely what your vision is from God. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're into business, if you're a teacher, if you're a professor, if it's to be a humanitarian, it's always going to involve someone else, not just you. And so I have no doubt that Job wanted to end his suffering, but he trusted God so much that he knew it wouldn't last forever. And so you must be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to renew your mind. And that's the second point. Renewing your mind takes a lot of discipline. And it takes a lot of discipline because you're used to the way you think is based on the experiences that you've had. And so if the only thing you experience is doubt, self-doubt, fear, or the people you hang around are instilling these qualities and traits into you, if the only thing you know or have seen is failure or neglect, that is what you are going to continue to do because that is what you're used to. That is what you're comfortable with. And so in order to renew your mind, the only way you can do that is to be in Christ Jesus. Because, like I said, it's based on your past experiences. And experience always tells us, you know, that's what you're going to rely on. You see a child, you tell them not to touch the stove. Okay, they may not do it the first time, but when you're not looking, they're going to touch the stove. They touch the stove, and what happened? It burns them. And so because of that experience, they're going to know, do not touch the stove because you will get burnt. And that is exactly how our minds work. Like I said, if you're used to just seeing people downtrodden, if you're used to always having a setback and you just feel like your back is always against the wall, you're going to want to stop. You're not going to want to go through the process anymore because it seems like what you've been doing hasn't been working. All the effort you've been putting in hasn't been working. It has gotten you nowhere. And so now you're frustrated. You're running in circles, and you have no idea what you're doing. You feel lost. You feel depressed. You feel disturbed. You feel upset in your spirit. Everything that Job was feeling, but he didn't give up. But he didn't stop believing in God. And that's how we have to be. Despite our experiences, despite what we're going through, we must always discipline ourselves to renew our mind and have the mind of Christ. And so how do you do that? How do you get through that? Well, the third point is you have to focus not on the process but on God's promises. And if we focus on his promises, the process it won't be easy, but you'll understand it will be worth it. You'll go through the process and you'll say, you know, God, this is a lot for me. It's a lot. I'm going through a lot. It's hard. It's difficult. But you already know what's on the other side. You know that God is going to come and he's going to deliver you from all of your afflictions because he says it in Psalms 34 and 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And so the day you confess out of your mouth that thou art the Son of God, things are going to get better, without a doubt. Things are going to get better. But the tests and trials won't stop. And I think a lot of the issues that many believers have is that they live in this fairy tale of as soon as I get saved, or, you know, because a lot of people get saved during the time where they're on a church high. You know, the service was good, the sermon was good, and they loved it. And so the preacher says, you know, if anybody who isn't saved, you know, come to the altar and give your life to Christ. Well, a lot of people think that after you do that, it's going to be a bed of roses. It's just going to be peaches and cream, and you don't have to worry anymore. Your finances is just automatically going to skyrocket. I mean, there's going to be peace in heaven, earth, and everywhere. But I'm here to tell you that's not so. Now, it's not to discourage. I'm not saying that's not so to discourage you. I'm saying that to let you know, as a believer, you have to fight just a little bit harder. You know, God is going to give you some battles that you really have to prove that you trust him, that you want him to be in your life, that you need him to be in your life. And he's going to create some situations where the only thing you can do is lean and depend on him. And so with the 3 points that we went over, becoming new, renewing your mind, and focusing on God's promises, you will not only make it through your Job season, but you will just make it through life, because Job seasons are just that. They are only for a season. And so your Job season is probably going to be the most difficult time in your life. I don't know when it's going to happen. For some people, it happens when they're very young. For some people, it happens when they're middle age and, you know, their parents are ailing and, you know, all those things that happen when you become middle age, in terms of your parents ailing and your children going to college and stress on finances, that can be your Job season. Or it can be when you're older and you're ailing and you have things that you have to deal with, you know. But it happens in this. It's just a season, and you have to think of it as just that, just a season. Seasons don't last forever; they change. We have winter, summer, spring, and fall. You know, so just because you're going through a season, don't think it's going to be an entire lifetime. It won't be. And so you have to think on these things and let it so that you know that you can continue to keep going to the promise that God has for you. Mm. Are you there, Pastor Leslie?
Yeah, all of that is very, very powerful. I'm listening as you're going forward, because it just resonates, you know, listening as you were talking. And one of the translations says, the righteous person faces many troubles. That's the New Living Translation. Mm-hmm. But the Lord comes to the rescue each time. And I know the one that you spoke of, it says, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So either mm-hmm. way it goes, we thank God, because, like you said, the seasons change. And I like how you put it, that it's not about us. That's one thing that we have to realize. Whatever God has blessed us with to come through, to do, whatever it is, it's not really about us, but that we might be a blessing. So becoming new, renewing our minds, focusing on his promises and not the process, I love that. So, you know, all of this is just very powerful, and it's ministering to my spirit. I wanted to give an opportunity for those who are listening. Perhaps somebody has something to say about going through their Job season and being able to, you know, identify with what you're saying, you know, Angelique, and how the Lord has ministered to them and delivered them and brought them through. So I just want to remind our listeners, you know, that any time, just know that you can press 1, we'll bring you in, you can join the conversation, ask a question, make a comment, and maybe those of you who haven't dialed in but you're listening by other means, you can call in to make a comment at 347-843-4591. 347-843-4591. All right, so
definitely.
Let's hear what else the Lord has for us on tonight.
Yeah, we definitely want them to call in and let us know, either ask questions, either ask them to ask questions, or, you know, just to have something to say in terms of their Job season, if they've experienced one, what they've been through. But we're going to continue. And so in our Job seasons, what ends up happening is, and what I realized, I've been through one. I don't know if I'm going to go through another one, but in terms of my life, I've been through one. But what I've realized when going through your Job season, it really is a time where it seems like everywhere you turn, there is something that just is not working out. There's something that's not working out. But what I learned is that you do come out a lot stronger than you were before. After my Job season happened, it was around the time my grandmother died. That was 13 years ago now. Wow. That was 13 years ago. My grandmother, she passed, and it just seems like, you know, it's not that I was lost. I mean, I was a young girl, but it just seemed like nothing was right. You know, my grandmother was my prayer warrior. You know, it was her, my mom, and my aunt. And so the three women who were, played an integral role in my life, I mean, one of them were gone, you know. And so I just thought that it was very hard for me to go on, and it really didn't hit me until a year later, where I really grieved the loss of my grandma. I didn't realize that I didn't grieve it, but you know, she was there for me. She was, you know, my prayer warrior, like I said. And when she passed, it took me a very long time to even really not believe in God, but get back into church how I was before. I used to dance when I was little. I took a break from dancing, all of that, because what I realized, and I realized it years later, is that it wasn't that I was serving God. I was serving my grandmother. That's what I was doing. And so she wanted me to dance. Whatever she would want me to do in the church, that's what I would do. And so, like I said, I realized that years later. But in going through all of that, and it was just back-to-back stuff. It was my grandma passed, and then it was school stuff. And, of course, when you're younger, that's just what it is. School is your life. School is your life. So when you're not doing well in school and your grandma's passing and all that good stuff, you know, it takes a toll on you. And I was young, and I was ambitious. And so it took a very hard hit at my self-esteem. And I had low self-esteem for years, probably about a good 4 years, where it's not that I didn't feel like I was worth it, and or that people weren't telling me I was beautiful, but it's just I didn't think that I was beautiful. I didn't believe it. And so all that happened as a result of my grandma passing, and it was just, I would call them dark years for me. But I realized that going through all of that, one, I really did find God, because that is the only person who could console me, who could understand everything that I was going through. And in my grandmother's passing is when I got closest to God. That is when I realized who he was. And, of course, I've had other situations in my life where I had no choice but to lean and depend on him, and he showed himself faithful. And so God allows us to go through these situations to bring us closer to him, because if you don't go through anything and you don't need him for anything, or you think you don't need him for anything, then why would you call on him? If you have everything you need, if you have it all together yourself, why would you need him? Why would you call on him? You know what I mean? And so you have to go through these things to understand and know who God is. It's just like with parents and their children, you know, in order for a child to understand, not just for the nurturing, but in order for a child to understand how important their parents are, they're going to need things, and their parents are going to have to be able to provide those things. Or so what do? You lose trust and faith in your parents. Or you stop asking them for things because you're not coming through for me. You know what I mean? And so God will create situations where you need him so that you can understand that you need to have a relationship with him, so that you can want to have a connection with him. Because, like I said, if you don't need him, why would you call him? And so in some of my darkest times, in some of my most tumultuous situations, is when I've gotten closest to God, because that is the only person, that is the only being I could call on to say, you know, God, it's a lot right now, but I know you're going to deliver me, you know. And even when I was younger, and I went through all I went through with my self-esteem and, you know, having low self-esteem, one thing that it has caused me to do is whenever I see young girls especially, and they ask me to mentor them, or I have a heart to mentor them, I'm able to mentor from that place of, I know exactly what it is that you're talking about. And this is why I say you have to endure the process to understand where God is taking you to and not be self-centered to the point where, you know, you're asking God, why me, why me, why me, and understand that your process is not about you. Because if I didn't go through what I went through, I wouldn't be able to identify a young child who has low self-esteem or who is hurting but is walking around as though everything is fine, because I did it for a long time, a very long time. And now, you know, people always tell me I'm confident. Well, I'm confident because I know what it is to have low self-esteem. I know exactly what it is, and I know exactly how it feels. And so that is why I'm able to say and sit here and say, your process is not for you. I strongly believe it. Because what God takes you through is the same point he will end up allowing you to minister in. And so that's why you can't curse your process. You can't curse what you're going through. You know, you can't get mad at it. And you get mad at it when you think of it from the perspective of me. That is the only time you get mad at it. Once you change your mindset and your focus to realize that this is just a part of the process, God, use me for your glory. God, what is the lesson I can get out of this? God, what are you trying to teach me? That's when the burden will become a lot easier for you to bear, when you realize that there's going to be so much more blessings after I get through this. And so I just want to encourage people and leave them with that tonight. After you get through this, there will be so much glory on the other side that what you went through will seem so small and so insignificant. And you won't end up broken. Like I went through all that in my life, and I'm in no way a broken person. I'm in no way a battered individual. I'm in no way depressed or selfish or self-centered or any of that. And I'm a much better person because of it. I don't speak of my story much. I don't tell all those parts of me a lot because, one, I don't really get the opportunity to unless I'm talking to young women. But for me, it's just something that I'm like, I know I'm going to have to speak on it later. But I don't think the time has come to fully take it all the way there. But I just want to leave people with that, just encourage them to let them know that the process is never about you, but God is getting ready to really use you to manifest his glory in someone else's life. And as believers, we have to have that mindset because Jesus came and he died for all of us. Well, he died for all of us. What did he expect you to do? You don't have to die for anybody, but you're definitely going to have to save some people through your testimony. And that's a minimum requirement when he gives you a promise or he wants you to fulfill a promise. And like I said, I want to leave them with that tonight because I want you all to just be encouraged. I want you to stay encouraged. I want you to fight the good fight and endure until the end, because in enduring, we show God that we trust him. And that is the biggest compliment we can do, is have faith in him. You know, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so you have to keep your faith strong, and keeping your faith strong means enduring until the end.
Yeah, you know, you touched a bit on esteem and more specifically self-esteem. And as you talked about that, my mind went to our lives being hidden in Christ, because so many women, and I work a lot with women in ministry, and so many women are buffeted by their past. In other words, they're haunted by what used to be and who they used to be, and we tend to resort to what we know and where we came from and what those reels are that play in our minds. But when our self-esteem can then be overshadowed or enveloped in that which God gives to us, and we find ourselves hidden in Christ, then it's no longer, it's called by the world standard self-esteem, but I don't esteem myself, as you said, above anything. What I boast in is what the Lord has done in and through my life. That's where he wants us to be.
Right.
So as a saint of God, when we talk about self-esteem, it's not about ourselves, as the world would speak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want you to, you know, speak well of yourself, self-esteem. But no, my life is hidden in Christ, and I realize that I am who God's word says that I am.
I am.
And so that's why I think that people who knew Christians when, they knew you before, the Lord came in and made all things new, and changed everything in our lives, it's hard for them to grasp, okay, so how can you be talking this talk now? I knew when you used to do that, or I knew you when you were this.
Right.
You know, I knew you when you were bound up in that. But my self-esteem is hidden in Christ. And now I'm a new creature, which you talked about. I've been, my mind has been renewed, and I'm not thinking the old thought pattern, and I'm not walking the old walk, and everything that I boast of, I'm boasting in Christ because he makes all things new. And that's what is the demarcation, the line of demarcation between us and that of the world, you know, and that's where we come from, that place of telling people, look, there's hope for you. You know, you're not just where you've been. You're not
exactly.
What you've done.
You're not your experiences, right? Right.
Yeah, and you're not your experience. You know, you can learn from that. Whatever that, like you tell us, whatever that Job experience is, you can come out of that. I mean, there's so much of the story we don't have about Job. You know, we don't know how others, but I'm sure they did, came to him after. You know, when he was walking in the glory of the Lord.
Right.
He had lost everything. We don't know how many countless others came to him to see how the Lord had restored. There was no way that he could do anything but give glory to God. There's no way.
That's
when you come through something that, yeah, there's no way that you can do anything but give glory to God because, you know, and I'm sure you would agree with this, Angelique, because we ourselves look at those situations and say, now, how in the world? You know, how in the world did I get from there?
Get through this. Yeah.
You know?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
We're like, okay, so how did I make it? Except,
yeah,
Lord.
Absolutely.
By your grace. Yes. Except by your grace. Glory to God. Well, hold on just a moment, and let's see here if we have someone who wants to chime in on our conversation. Let's see, caller 9595. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, Sister Leslie.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. I've been enjoying this show tonight as well as last week, enjoying Angelique and what she shared. Just wanted
where are you
to
calling from?
Say, I'm calling
where
from
calling
actually.
From
I'm calling from Baltimore.
All right. Well, we trust all is well
there. Yeah, praying
for
Baltimore.
Yeah,
praying
for
Baltimore.
Absolutely,
ahead,
absolutely.
Sis.
I'm just, I wanted to just share a little bit of that, but before I do that, I just wanted to compliment Angelique on her comments regarding the Job experience, and I think that many of us have gone through a Job experience, And in some ways, I feel that I'm in one right now, but I know that my God is a God who is going to take me through, and I'm going to come through, greater than I was before. So I'm praising God for that. And I just want to compliment her being a young woman and her wisdom that she shared. So I've enjoyed your comments, again, as I said before, last week as well as tonight. But my mind, and I'm just a little bit distracted by what's going on right now in Baltimore, and I just would like to say, my heart is somewhat heavy to see the young people that are looting and burning the buildings and robbing right on camera, and it's so devastating. I guess my question to you would be, what would you say to these young adults? They're not children. They're young adults who are loading their cars up with the booty that they're taking from the stores. And, how would you minister to them? Because many of them are unchurched and some of them are probably not. And I'm going to get off to just hear your response. And, again, I've enjoyed you thoroughly tonight.
Thank you. All glory
Thank
to
you,
God.
Paula.
Absolutely all glory to God. How I would minister to them is, one thing I've learned is that you have to meet people where they are. Because they aren't in Christ, you can't necessarily come to them and throw a Bible at them. They won't be receptive to it. you know, but you definitely have to reach them where they are and understand their situation. I think a lot of people will just see that they are looting and they are stealing and taking things and, you know, doing things that are out of the norm, just, you know, misbehaving, as people would say. They're just misbehaving. You have to understand the cause of it and speak to them there. And then after you understand why they're doing that and you're speaking to them, and a lot of them have stories that they'll never, ever tell or have never told. And in speaking to people and you getting their story, you can empathize with them. And once you can empathize with them, you can understand, okay, you're not that person that they showed on TV who was throwing that garbage can. You throwing that garbage can actually came as a result of X, Y, and Z. Because something that happens to you. So the way that I would go about ministering to them is speaking to where they currently are and understanding why they're doing what they're doing. And then after understanding, and then they see that I'm not attacking them or I'm not judging them for it, that we're not judging them for it, but we're genuinely trying to help them, then they will be open and receptive to whatever else that you have to say. But they have to first understand and see that you actually care about them, because a lot of them out there who aren't in Christ probably feels like no one cares about them, and they are probably doing what they think people expect them to do. So if you constantly have expectations on people and you label them as such, they will continue to act as such. Like I spoke earlier about how we go based on our experiences. Well, if the only thing they've ever told, they've only ever been told, or lately this past week they've been told that they are nothing, they can do nothing, you guys are unruly, you're horrible, well, that's what they're going to continue to act like. You know, and so we have to get down to them and understand where that's coming from. Then and only then can we begin to minister them as Christ has called us to do. I know a lot of people in our religion, I guess you can say, in Christians, you know, it's hard for them to just go somewhere without throwing the Bible immediately at somebody. But I honestly believe we have to be able to understand where a person is coming from before we're able to fully and completely minister them. You have to have them open up first before you can take that route. And Pastor Leslie, you can feel free to comment if you want to.
Amen. Well, I certainly concur with the caller that it is a time of, you know, great trouble and concern, you know, for all of us, not just those in Baltimore, but just the community at large, you know, families, be it those in the church and those outside the church, they feel the pain. And I think that what we're seeing on some level, Angelique, when you talk about, you know, meeting them where they are, I think what we're seeing is the result of people who have lost hope. You know, we have to have people without a hope are just people in despair, and there's not much that you care about when hope is lost. When you can't have hope in the authority that's set up, you know, to protect you, or those who are put in position to make rules and governing authority, and it would seem like the systems in place have failed you, in a hopeless state feel as though they have to take it in their own hands. And then I think that it goes back to what you were saying. People then resort to what they know. So if they're familiar with the streets, then how do I take it into my own hands? Then I resort to street. Now, there are people who are saying, listen, let's don't go that route. Let's don't be violent. Let's, you know, but people who have lost hope and they don't see that anybody is able to make the change, you know, or they don't see that resolution is coming or justice is being portrayed, then they're going to go at it whatever way they know and how they feel is going to bring some type of resolve or, you know, get to the point that they're trying to get to. You know, so we hear chants like no justice, no peace. What are they saying?
No peace.
We don't see justice. Right. We don't see justice. So you're not going to have peace.
Yep.
Right, you're not going to have rest because we're at unrest. We don't have rest in our communities. We don't have rest within ourselves. We don't have rest in our hearts and our minds. you know, in our families. And it is a very hurtful thing. You know, it's very mm-hmm. hurtful because when we talk about meeting people where they are, you know, it's just, it would be wonderful if we could get people to see that in a lot of these cases, we are hurting our own communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are destroying our own. We are destroying what's ours. We're destroying what's been built, you know, in our own neighborhoods, in our own communities, those type of things. But I think when people are in that
hopelessness
state, right,
mm-hmm.
then it's hard to get through that once they've gotten to a point of where they feel like they're going to take it in their own hands. But we do know that prayer changes things, and we know that the heart of the king is in God's hands, and we know that he can turn these situations around. You know, he's done it before. Isn't that the first time we've seen rioting in the streets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time we've seen things in great upheaval, but it's sad when calamity comes, any time like this. But we're all touched by it.
Everybody.
You know, in and outside
because
the walls.
Because it affects everybody. Yeah, it
right.
affects everybody.
Yeah.
It really does. Because this is a race of people. This is a class of people who, you know, they don't just live in Baltimore. It extends beyond that. And
mm-hmm.
so, like you said, you know, because this comes out of hopelessness. Well, when you're hopeless, you don't think about, you know, you're destroying your own community. You're tearing down your
mm-hmm.
own community. You get to a point where you want to express yourself in the truest form that you can. And it's,
mm-hmm.
well, when I speak, you don't listen, you know. When I knock on your door and say I need help, you don't listen. When I come to my, you know, neighborhood council meetings, you don't listen. Well, now it's gotten to a point where you haven't been listening, so that hasn't been working. Experience says that hasn't been working. So how else can I get your attention? And now
right.
it's gotten to a point where it's, you know, it seems to be out of control, but we know God is definitely in control. And, yeah, hopelessness breeds despair, which breeds anger, and then you get what you see in Baltimore right now. It's this isn't new. It's years of this, you know, silent animosity going on that nobody is really trying to speak to because everybody is really trying to keep the peace, at least on the surface. But we all know what
yeah.
happens to wounds that need surgery, but you put a Band-Aid on it, it gets
mm-hmm.
infected, and things
mm-hmm.
really go wrong. And so that's what
mm-hmm.
we're seeing in Baltimore right now.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said,
and
we serve a God
there,
that...
go ahead.
I said we serve a God who he knows all, he sees all.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. And that's our consolation. I believe that we're at a place where the Lord is pushing his people outside of the four walls and saying you cannot just be inside those walls and be effective for change. You know, we're going to have to come outside the four walls of the church and really minister to people because people are hurting. You know, it's in Baltimore now, very close to home for those of us who are in the D.C. metropolitan area, but we've seen this type of thing all over, you know, the United States. Families have dealt with this in various cities and states, and it's just a time when there's just a state of hopelessness. But our God is the God of all nations, and he wants us to turn to him. And so, you know, righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, and God wants, you know, righteousness to prevail in the land. And I think that it's coming a time when the church is going to really have to take its place and speak out, you know, for what's right and be there,
yeah.
you know, to be a soothing balm to the community, to really have a presence in our communities. You know, so when you talk about the Job season, wow, it goes beyond just a personal experience.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
you're hitting on something because individuals and then communities, groups of people can be going through
mm-hmm.
seasons that they feel are a Job season, that they feel, you know, where they're not being heard, where God is not hearing them, where they're walking in dread, you know, and fear. And people who are hurting, if you've heard that saying, hurting people hurt people.
Hurt people, yep.
Yeah, hurting people hurt people. And when you're in hopelessness and a place of despair, something eventually comes out of that. I mean, you know, and it's usually not a good thing unless there's some type of intervention. So we believe God. It is a time for much prayer, but not only that, but believing God for wisdom in how to act and how to respond, because it's time for response. It is a time for response.
Yeah.
And so we believe God for that. I think that it's a timely word that you're giving to us in terms of going through our Job season. I don't know if anyone else has anything to add to the conversation tonight. We certainly don't want to cut anyone off if they want to share and have something to say tonight, because it's certainly been rich. Or if you have anything else to share, Angelique, we are down at about 14 minutes now, so a good amount of time left. I don't know if you have anything else to share.
I don't have anything else to share. I just pray that people were blessed by this and that they leave with hope to endure and a stronger belief and trust in God. That is all. I want to encourage people to just keep going, keep on going on, because we as people of God, we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do, not just in Baltimore,
That's right.
We have a lot of work to do. And so the only way we can accomplish it is if that we all endure and continue the mission that God has sent each and every one of us on. And like you said, this extends past the kingdom. This extends past me, you, and you have to. This is why you have to take the focus off of yourself, because there's so much more work to do beyond you.
That's right.
Yeah, I just want to leave people with that tonight.
Amen. Amen. So, listeners, we thank God for you on tonight. And we just believe that you've been touched, that you've been blessed. And we just pray God's anointing even on what has been spoken tonight, because there are those who will listen to this broadcast later in our archives, and we just believe God to even minister to them then as they're listening over the archived session. But before we go, I want to hear from our caller at 2997. God bless you.
I bless you too.
Oh, bless you. Where are you calling from
tonight? I'm telling you, Angelina, you and the caller.
Well, bless you. Where are you calling from?
Angela first came on talking about low self-esteem.
Yes.
I never had low self-esteem. But I had a complex. I always felt like people didn't like me, you know. And well, I thought it was because I had fair skin and long, beautiful hair. But now, you know, now that I'm in Christ, I know what the reason is. It's the Christ that's within me, you know. So now I'm able to look at them and smile when they act like, you know, they don't want to be bothered or whatever, you know. So, and then you were talking about that hope. A person with no hope, honey, they will do anything. They'll just take matters in their own hands. But we just got to continue to pray for them, pray for people, because, as you said earlier, we're going through that time now when people do everything they want to do, but we got to pray more and talk about the Lord more and live the life more before people, you know, let them see the Christ. And so I've just really been enjoying it. I've been enjoying the whole thing.
Amen. Well, God bless you for calling in. I know
all
you're
of you.
Calling from the Carolinas, right? Calling from the Carolinas.
Yes, calling from Carolina.
I know you are. All right. Well, we thank God for your calling
thank
in.
Thank God for you.
So,
yeah. A lot of times, I've been going through things. And felt like I said, you know, my mind was just, so much was on my mind, I just couldn't think right. But thank be to God, today I have a clear mind, and as she was saying, I got to keep on keeping on.
I can keep on keeping on.
So it's time now to really step out and show people who God is. And that's what I do. Thank God for you, Lord. on any show.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank God for
you.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, thank God. Thank God for those who've given comments on tonight, because, you know, God is so good. God is so good to us, and we know that love is the key. And if we love, we'll pray for those who despitefully use us. We'll pray for those who
mm-hmm.
are less fortunate. We'll pray for those who don't know Christ. And I believe that that's something that the Lord wants to call us back to as a church, as believers, is that we pray for those who are outside of the ark of safety, those who don't know him. He said, other sheep I have who are not of this fold, and them also I must bring. There will be one fold and one shepherd. And, of course, initially he spoke to the Jews about bringing in the Gentiles. But now we must realize that there are those who are out there without hope. But God is saying, if you just love them, if you love me, then take care of my sheep. You know, they belong
yep,
to me.
Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, feed them, take care of them, bring them in. And so we thank God for you on tonight, Sister Angelique, and that you decided to come and be with us again. And we're looking forward
Absolutely.
To being with us, you know, even in coming months. We thank God for that, that, you know, he has connected us. And we know that God has put a word down in your spirit, you know, for his people. And so we want to just keep you encouraged, you know, tell you to keep on doing what it is that the Lord has called you to do. Work in your part of the vineyard where the Lord has planted you. And we look forward to having
you back
with us.
Absolutely will. Thank you. Yes,
mm-hmm.
I'll be back.
Amen. All right,
back.
We look forward to it. Listeners, we're going to have this young lady back with us in the coming months, and we want you to stay tuned and, you know, tell others. Tell others about us here on When Passion Meets Purpose, Monday evenings, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We believe that God has designed it, that your passion would intersect with your God-given purpose. Be encouraged as we go forward. We believe, God, that his favor would overshadow you, his peace would overtake you, oh, my God, and that salvation would be yours. Walk in it today. Walk in it. Those of you who don't know the Lord, just simply call upon his name. Believe in your heart that God has raised Christ Jesus from the dead, and you shall be saved, as the scripture has said. We thank God for you on tonight. God bless you. We look forward to you being with us again next week for When Passion Meets Purpose.